All right, second hour of the drive underway, bottom of the hour, more on Sacramento getting MLS. Marcos Bertone joining us 1 hour from now. Greg Papa, the voice of the 49ers. But we start this hour, Dave, with the conclusion of last night's preseason. It ended. Kings won, for those that care. That's fine. 3-2. But everybody's talking about the locker room afterwards, right, in which Buddy Hield expressed his feelings on where they are with contract talks.
Yep, Buddy got loose again.
He did.
In the post game, and Kings fans are a flutter, and I totally get it.
Well, just before we hear Buddy, here's one from our buddy Marty in Philly, from Philly, on the text line. Last night on the Twitter machine, I saw Buddy described as emotional, heated, and annoyed. I didn't get that at all. I saw a guy talking about his business. If you combine his post game interview with social media likes that day, it is simply the case of agents going to be agents.
I agree with that to a point. Like, okay. I didn't think Buddy was flustered and heated and emotional. I think that's people interjecting that. I thought, to Marty's point, I thought Buddy was talking about his contract. And, yeah, he liked an article. I think it was posted by some radio station, Oklahoma City, of all things. It was like, could Buddy's time in Sacramento be, could the clock be ticking? And he liked it. And people look at that stuff. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a like is used as a bookmark on social media, and sometimes a like is used as an endorsement. And people are going to read what they want, and I don't blame them. That looks like Buddy going, could it be? I don't like the fact that Buddy is being this public about it. But it's also, again, it's his business. It's his money. And you're talking about the difference, to which to us is minimal, in what the Kings are offering and what Buddy wants. To us, it's minimal in the big scheme, in the macro. But in the micro, let's remember, it's also more money than you, me, and probably everybody listening right now is going to make in their lifetime. That's a lot of money. And but, you know, if I'm writing a love letter to Buddy here, I could say, hey, that money right there, imagine that money being used for a lot of the charitable aspects that Buddy sticks his neck out for. That's a big deal. So, of course, Buddy's going to fight for it. He and his agent are aware that there's likely going to be a salary cap drop. And if they don't sign this extension now, whatever that max deal is now is going to be far higher than that max deal is going to be this summer, and what people will have room to sign him with. So, of course, there's motivation to get it done right now. But I don't know, man. Everything we've seen about Vlade, he doesn't do getting cornered well.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Vlade
gets out of the corner well.
Yeah, he does. And Vlade doesn't do ultimatums, and Buddy hasn't thrown one out.
Right.
But Vlade doesn't do that. Vlade does the whole let's be cool, let's talk about this, let's work it out. But dude, it's a business, and this is really kind of a good part of the business, because if you're having a contract issue, generally that means the person is good enough to earn that contract or at least be in the conversation, and Buddy certainly is. So my worry level is like at a 2.
Okay.
Honest to God, it's like at a 2.
Well, others are, it's probably closer to 10 in panic mode. Here's what Buddy did say last night to the media after the game.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't even know if things can get done. If it don't get done, then after that, me and my team gonna look somewhere else and look for probably another home. But until then, we'll see if they really serious about having me here. That's the goal, to be here. You know, I love Sacramento, but if they don't want me here, I don't feel that I'm the part of the core. You know, I like respect and loyalty, and I feel like I'm part of the group that's getting the team back where it needs to be. So, you know, like I said, I want to be here, and they don't want me here. Find somebody to be us again.
Yeah, again, what you said, Dave, too, it's not a heat. That's not heated, but I think it's someone that believes in what he's saying. I think Buddy would like more money. That's not foreign to anybody's profession, certainly this one. I do think, though, in like the semantics part of this, the Kings are offering him a deal that shows they want him to be here.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
And for Buddy to say, well, then I have to find, well, no, that's still the Kings have all the power here in that sense,
right,
where,
right,
if they want to trade him, they can, but they pick. If they don't want to raise their price, they don't have to. Buddy is signed to play this year.
Yeah.
It's how you handle it. And I don't love that he went here, but I don't hear a guy screaming and going crazy. I hear a guy kind of probably asked about it, expressing his opinion, and I'm with you. I think it's something they can agree on. I just don't like the look of why do this in the media? Because right now, Dave, I feel like they're as close to the peak feel-good you can have. The team is here,
yeah.
35th season, so much to like. I think they got a good roster. I think they will compete for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this will be a distraction. I just hope it isn't.
Well, it's listen, from a buddy camp point of view, it's a smart move. It's a smart move.
Is it? In the media?
It's a smart move that could backfire.
Okay.
But it's a smart move. Here's their thought process, I would think. Okay, guys, listen. You can do this behind the scenes, but all your leverage is in the fan base. And this is an organization that has proven it can be spooked before, and it can be swayed by public opinion. So let's put out the seed that we could leave at some point, and let's get the fans on our side. And then maybe the media, in part, I'm gonna go off the rails here for a second, but listen. The media is driven by whatever gets clicks and views.
Mm-hmm.
If the fans are in an uproar, then any article that's published on this, it's going to get a ton of clicks and views, which means that copy editors and assignment editors are going to assign their reporters to do more on this and ask more questions, because that's the pond that we're getting fish out of right now. So not only are they going to keep asking Buddy about this, but here's the real play. What happens when they start asking other players about this? What if they can get De'Aaron Fox on record saying, you know what, listen, they got to do this. Buddy's our guy and we're nothing with that. What happens if you get other players and fans and Buddy all on the same page, all throwing pressure, and then at some point, and again, this is an agent talking, and I don't know that he's right, but the agent goes, and then at some point, Vlade gets a call from Vivek that says, you got to get this done. We're looking stupid here. I'm freaking out. Just sign him to whatever. It's okay. And then you went through all this. You got your extra $10 million, and then down the road, nobody remembers this in a month. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares. But from a fan point of view, I understand the knee-jerk of sign him. Who cares? Just sign him. Right. Sign him. Sign him. You need to understand that Vlade and Ken are also in a very high leverage position. Short of Buddy saying, I'm not really going to play. I'm going to sit out, or pulling an Anthony Davis, which do we really think that's a possibility?
No, don't.
So here's quote-unquote worst-case scenario. They don't sign him. Buddy grumbles about it and then says, I'm done talking about it for the rest of the year, which is 99% sure what's going to happen. Plays a year out. Obviously, he's going to play well because he wants money.
Contract year.
Summer comes up. Cap goes down 10 to 15%. Okay, what's going on now? Nobody can offer Buddy the money that the Kings can offer, and they're going to give him a qualifying offer, which is going to allow them to sign and match any offer he gets. So then he can sit there and he can either sign the qualifying offer and make whatever, 6-point-something million next year and become an unrestricted free agent. But Buddy's also 26 years old. He's going to be 27 next year. So this is probably his last big contract. This is probably his last big contract. He's right on that edge. Is he really going to want to give up $15 million for a year that he's never going to get back in order to become an unrestricted free agent at 28? No. So in my worst case scenario is, if you're from the Kings' point of view, yeah, we got to hear him grumble for a little bit. Yeah, the fans are going to be a little bit pissy. Yes, this might hang over everybody's head. But in the end, we'll get him this summer. We'll get him this summer for 10% less. And then we can work on Marvin, and we can work on De'Aaron, and we can work on Bogey, and we can work on Harry or whoever else.
Your sense, you have way more, you know, connections, social media, way more followers. We know generally Kings players can do no wrong.
Yeah.
For the most part. People really soured on Willie really quickly.
Yep.
When he started talking about money.
Yeah.
I still think that's the biggest disconnect between fans and players. You brought up the money. We'll never see it. None of us will ever see any kind of money like that.
Nope.
I'd play for free. Okay. These guys aren't going to play for free. Any chance this does any harm? I mean, I know the point of doing this in front of the fans is to rally them behind Buddy. Buddy's really likable. He's good. Nobody thinks that what he's asking for is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody thinks what the Kings are offering is crazy. So they're not far apart. Does this sour anybody on Buddy?
It's a very fickle situation, depending on where the wind blows. Buddy's playing with fire when he starts saying stuff like, name for me the free agents that have signed.
He knew the right buttons to push.
He absolutely is. Right now, he's pushing the perfect buttons. But if you go too far on that at some point, you're going to start hearing this. Sacramento doesn't like to be condescended to. Sacramento doesn't like having those fallacies being pointed out or those faults being pointed out. There is a chance that you can go too far, and then you're going to start hearing fans going, well, dude, you're 26, and you're not as good as Bradley Beal, and you know what? We don't want to be in cap hell, so what can we get for you? But does anyone really think that Vlade, whose biggest masterstroke of his career, bar none, it was not drafting De'Aaron Fox. That's where De'Aaron was supposed to be drafted. It wasn't drafting Marvin Bagley. He should have drafted, some would say, Luka Doncic, but you lucked into the number two pick. His biggest masterstroke was getting Buddy Hield and effectively Harrison Barnes for DeMarcus Cousins. Do we really think Vlade is going to let the jewel of that trade
right.
the biggest drama of his entire GM career walk for $10 million. Guys, they're going to work it out.
Well, they're going to work it out. Yeah. As we will, again, continue to talk about this. When we come back, though, we get into four down territory, including a look at tonight's Chiefs-Broncos game. We'll do all that as the drive continues on KHDK.
It's time for four down territory on the drive. First down.
Jay Mars.
Fire Wings. Oh, sorry.
21.
Sorry. .com.
You guys want to ask the questions too, or are we
just
good?
No. Y'all don't say that.
I'll just wing it.
I have one job, and half of it's already been taken. Get it, guys?
Got it.
I'm so smart. Okay. Brock Osweiler announced his retirement yesterday. How well will you remember him?
Can I just the sales guy meme? This is brought to you by Fire Wings. 21 Thanks. Different flavors to choose from. Firewings.com. Just wing. I don't feel
As
like
a
that.
As a future owner of a Fire Wings.
Right. Yes, exactly. I don't know if we did the full read there. What do I remember about him? On a serious side,
there's nothing serious about it.
Okay, listen.
What could you possibly remember about him?
He's
got a Super Bowl.
I will say this.
Yeah.
And I don't know that the Broncos have that Super Bowl without him. What did he do? I think he went 5-1 or 5-2 that year and performed admirably for who he is until he could hand the ball over to Peyton Manning. Here's
a compliment.
Here's my thing. I don't know if they win a Super Bowl without him in those first six or seven games. I'm trying to give you the highlight.
I mean, he got what, $42 million?
He got a lot of money.
The guy got paid.
He got a lot of money. And he's 28 years old. I honestly wonder why more players don't do this. We've talked about this. He made a ton of money, and you know what? He was 5-2 as a starter before Peyton Manning took over that team.
That guy's pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I remember Brock Osweiler, rich Super Bowl champion. That's what I remember.
I'll remember him as another quarterback that John Elway couldn't get to work. I don't understand why that guy who's so good at the position, one of the all-time greats, hasn't been able to figure out how to draft or sign or figure out a quarterback.
You know, I was looking around for this, and there's got to be, with all the outlets out there, if somebody's done this piece, I can't find it, but I would like to see a list like the Osweiler list of players that have made a ton of money and really weren't that great. Like, Matt Schaub has to be on there. Matt Flynn has to be on there.
For sure.
And I'm sure
that Castle got paid too, right?
Castle did, yeah. Mm-hmm. Although Castle had that season with the Patriots where they,
yeah, he had, because it was with the Patriots.
I get it, but in all sports, there have to be like your Brock Osweiler all stars. Somebody has
list.
To do that piece.
Yeah.
All right.
Second down.
On a more serious note, what odds do you give Marcus Mariota of starting again for the Tennessee Titans?
Why is that serious? Let's have fun with it.
Let's break down the Titans.
I give it 100%.
Oh, wow. Like, I was waiting for your number because I was going to go, I'm going to go higher, but I can't.
No.
I was in the 80 range.
Unless, God forbid, knock on wood, he stumbles into his kitchen today and suffers a career-ending injury. He's going to start again.
Because Tannehill's not good?
Because Tannehill's not good and because he was the number two pick in the draft, and same reason why Jameis Winston's going to get his deal.
I guess the big difference I heard between the two is the person that drafted Jameis is still there.
Right, that's very true.
The one
true.
That didn't draft Mariota is not there.
That's
so
very
that
true.
Could be, but because I don't believe in Tannehill,
right.
I think it's probably 2 weeks from
you
now.
You don't believe in Tannehill?
No. Do I believe in Tannehill or Osweiler?
Speaking of Osweiler and that, so the thing was, what do you remember most about Osweiler? Is it sad? And I don't know if I'm on an island here. When I think of Ryan Tannehill, honestly, the biggest thing I remember about Ryan Tannehill is watching Hard Knocks, and the storyline for like the first three episodes was that Ryan Tannehill, the rookie, was not reporting to Miami, and then the day he reported, like everybody was excited and they were getting ready to turn around the franchise. I very much remember that, and that's what I remember about Ryan Tannehill, was he held out his rookie year.
Narrator, they indeed did not turn the franchise around.
About third down.
Michael Irvin told a Dallas radio station the Cowboys should sign Antonio Brown. Is this a good idea?
Yes.
The best idea of all time.
Yes. It's the greatest idea since something that cured something. Yes. Yeah. Yes. He belongs in Dallas. Love it.
I can't think of a better place.
No.
Better situation.
Best.
Than right here right now.
Yes. I don't know. Michael quotes. Irvin, Terrell Owens. Yeah. Did you just go Jesus? Was that Jesus Jones in the right here, right now?
Oh. I no, I was doing Marv Levy, I thought. Oh, where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
I love the idea, Jason.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown's a Cowboy.
Yeah, and it might actually work.
Sure.
For all of us.
I was saying, in what sense?
In every one, where he might catch some balls and it'd be good.
Right.
And he might be a train wreck.
Third time's a charm.
Sure. Will he drop the grievances?
Right, right. Well, and the problem there is Jerry Jones, here's the only potential problem I see. I just don't know if Jerry Jones is equipped to handle problem-type players because he really hasn't had that experience before. Generally, Jerry Jones is the type of guy that will not look past a player's issues. He will suspend them or release them instantly, and he certainly doesn't excuse any of their behavior. So I truly don't know how he's going to handle Antonio Brown. It's going to be new territory for him.
When I think of franchises over the last 30 years that have had just a clean bill of players on them, no issues, off-the-field stuff, Dallas Cowboys, top of mind.
And the ideal coach for him is Jason Garrett.
Really, truly, guys, of the two teams that should have Antonio Brown more than anything when it fits that whole image they have, air quotes, the Raiders and the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Are there any others?
Let's make it all in one year.
Let's do it.
I'm down.
Fourth down. Fourth down.
Chiefs are traveling to Denver to take on the Broncos tonight. Who you got?
The Chonkos. The Briefs. I don't know.
The Briefs.
I'll take the Chiefs. I think they get off the schneid and Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes go crazy, and I'll say the Chiefs double up the Broncos.
What if Tannehill is quarterbacking the Chiefs and Osweiler the Broncos? Then what?
Wait,
and Antonio Brown is reffing. Yeah, it's the Chiefs.
The Cowboys
right?
win. Yeah,
it's the Chiefs.
So. Should be.
But again, I think tomorrow, if it's the Broncos tonight that wins, we're questioning the division and say, hey, Raiders, it could be your division.
I'm certainly rooting for the Broncos.
Yeah, it's a better story for us.
A great story for us, great story for the Raiders, and great story for football in general. But it's probably the Chiefs. Jay, your thoughts?
Chiefs.
Yeah. Okay, well, isn't one of us supposed to, like, disagree and then call the other one dumb and then yell at each other and then go to break?
My bad.
Okay, go ahead.
Broncos, you stupid idiot. It's going to be, it's Mile High Stadium.
You're a stupid idiot.
No, you're an idiot.
You're an idiot, and you have no idea what you're talking
about.
You don't
know anything about football.
My God, could somebody stay
339-1140.
The weed. That's supposed
better.
To do, right?
Jason?
It's legal there.
Oh, stay on. No, don't do that. someone will isolate
watch it.
That.
Yes.
Stay on, KHTK, because coming up next, Jason.
I am. 339-1140. And Marcos Bertone.
Yes.
MLS coming to Sacramento. We'll do that next on The Drive. All right, back here on The Drive, Jason Ross, Carmichael Day, Jay Mars. As Jay mentioned, Marcos Bertone to join us in just a moment. Also, Greg Papa, the voice of the 49ers, coming up right after 8 o'clock. So, big, big sports day. Lots of stuff going on between the baseball playoffs, the Kings, Buddy Hield, contract negotiations, NFL starting with week 7 today. It's a good time to be a sports fan. So, we've got all that coming as we continue here on KHDK.
You know, I wanted to say something real quick that has nothing to do with sports, but I think this is one of those we're a community radio station type of deals. I got this email earlier, and I made a note to say something. You know those new emergency alerts that are coming out to your phone now? Not the presidential ones that are controversial, but Sacramento, Placer, and Yolo counties with the earthquakes and all that.
Right,
people
right.
being able to sign up, whether it's on your cell phone or your landline, for alerts. Well, they're testing it today at 10:17 in the morning. So you're going to get it. If you signed up, you're going to get an emergency alert, and the area code will be an 833 area code. So I know that sometimes with those things, people kind of freak out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is this? What is this? No. It'll. I'm not clear if it's going to have a special tone or anything. I think it does. But I know in the past when that's come up, because people aren't used to that type of alert, kind of freaks people out. So 10:17 this morning,
be on the lookout.
They're testing it out, and
but you had to have signed up for this.
Yeah, you had to sign up for it, and all the cities and counties are encouraging you to do that if you haven't already. Get hurt, you know, obviously we always hope and pray that nothing ever ever happens, but sadly,
there's a reason to do this.
Yeah, exactly. Sadly, it does. So it's a cool program they set up. So if you signed up, 10-17, you're getting an alert. And if you didn't, go sign up, 339-1140.
Yeah. Well, again, Marcos Bertón to join us here in just a few moments from the Sacramento Bee to talk about MLS coming to Sacramento.
Yeah.
And it's been, you know, you've been behind a lot of this, knowing where things were going, and you always had faith that this could happen. Now that it's, like, it's real, Dave. I mean, this is happening. There aren't the, well, still have to sign some paperwork. You still have to get some things done. Monday's going to be a big day, and 2022 will be here soon.
It will. Talking to Grant and Doug about this yesterday, too, and how, you know, we talked about this a lot yesterday, the change this will make for our city, for the way it looks, for a lot of the things that are offered in the city, really just continuing the momentum that we had with the Kings. It never stopped. And construction on this thing is going to start immediately,
mm-hmm.
you know, on this
whole. It has
to. It absolutely has to. And we're looking at most likely a March 2022 kickoff, and I imagine there will be some sort of kickoff event like Paul McCartney for Golden One. I don't think soccer will be the first event there, is my point.
That's really great. And we'll talk more about that, more about the story, and more about where the city is going. Marcos Bertón to join us here. All guests are coming to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. Hopefully you read his piece today on the Bee about the little city, the not-so-little city, Marcos, that all of a sudden is becoming a major player. In your mind, how did this all really happen as now MLS is coming to Sacramento?
Well, good morning. Good morning. It's a big, big event, a big thing for the city. It proves that we're a determined city, that we have had a host of key people who wanted to make this happen and forced Sacramento into the conversation when MLS had no plans of having another team in Northern California. They had San Jose, and they were looking at other parts of the country, and Sacramento really forced its way into this conversation. And you know, credit to the key people, you know, Warren Smith for coming up with the idea, and Kevin Nagel for believing in it and putting his money into it. And then even when it became clear that he wasn't going to be the owner of the MLS team, he recruited the guy who would be. And I think that really says a lot about him and about a whole lot of other people I haven't mentioned who helped make this possible.
And Marcos, thank you for that. Marcos also has an article out today. I retweeted it. On Kevin specifically, and the Bee's coverage of this thing from the get-go has been absolutely stellar, and it continues throughout the week and weekend, and I'm sure into next week as they do a great job, whether it's Marcos or Dale or Tony or even Ryan, all those guys over there just going. I think I saw something from Noah yesterday on rivalries, really just kind of laying out what this means. Marcos, your article today really hit home with me. I've made no secret about my love for Kevin Nagel, my appreciation for him, as I have love and appreciation and am very protective of anyone who believes in this city, who invests in this city, and who stays strong for this city. And I thought you didn't have enough time to go over everything, but I thought you did a really good job of making the point that Nagel took a lot of junk throughout this process at times, and a lot of stuff that he had to have his hands behind his back on, he couldn't fight back on. A lot of unnecessary garbage during this whole process, and really, I won't say miraculous, but pretty tough road to get from there to here, and he had to weather a lot of that storm.
Well, you know, he did, including you know, the rules being changed.
Yep.
In the process, where, you know, the entry fee to basically buy your way into MLS, you know, doubled and tripled. At one point in time, it appeared that other people were going to lead the Sacramento's bid, and Kevin kind of took himself out of it, but stayed involved. And And then, you know, there's a lot of stories that are going to come out after the big announcement. But, you know, the whole purchasing the team was quite the drama. And then you know, the thing that really, for me, stands out is you know, his dream was to be the owner of the MLS team, and then that whole dynamic changed, and instead of walking away from it, he recruited the person who would be, and I think it says a lot about a person when he sees a bigger picture, and that bigger picture being, you know, putting a new stadium, a new soccer-specific stadium in the rail yards, because it would be something that would jumpstart construction there, and that ensure that we would see something in the rail yards during our natural lives. And, you know, I think that these are all things that will be remembered or should be remembered for a long time to come, because it didn't have to happen, but it happened in large part because of Kevin Nagel.
Well, and just to finish that point, and we'll move on, but I'm glad you picked up on that too, because I think maybe of all the things in that process, the one that got to me the most should really be that you'll remember this, like, oh, well, Kevin doesn't want to release control of the team. Kevin's fighting for ownership. Here's a guy who invested all the money, or a good amount of the money, and then went out and recruited somebody to replace him, even though the goalposts had been moved, like you said. And I remember telling him privately, like, dude, you got to fight back. This is right. You got to let me fight back for you, at least, or somebody. Like, they're killing you on this. And not only are you not trying to keep control of the team, you're out there traveling the country, recruiting people to take it from you, to take it to the next level. That was the thing that pissed me off the most. And again, you covered it perfectly.
Well, I appreciate that, brother. And, you know, the thing is he's, Kevin is someone who cares about things. And look, I mean, he's in the business to make money. There's nothing wrong with that. He's going to make money.
Yeah.
But you know, he could have made money in any other different ways and could have said, you know what, I just don't need this in my life. And he saw that this could happen and that it should happen, and that it was a play not only to bring an MLS team to Sacramento, but to build a facility and then build you know, things around it and create opportunities for people to come together in the city. And I have to tell you, I've been so focused on getting these stories out, and you know, you get into battle mode. Today's the morning that I woke up feeling really excited and amazed that this happened, because there were just so many times in the last couple of years where I felt I didn't want to say it. I certainly didn't want to write it, but I felt like, man, we're dead. Mm. I mean, it's just not going to happen for us. And we're still in this, and we're going to get this because people like Kevin Nagel did not walk away. And I think that's amazing.
Marcos Patton from the Sacramento Bee joining us here on The Drive. Marcos, Dave and I were speculating yesterday about where this can go, even for the city. We've seen the downtown arena for the Kings, now the soccer at the rail yards, two pro sports franchises in this community. But what else do you think that can lead to future growth, whether it's future events or even, I don't know, what does Sacramento look like in 2030 with just all this news with the Kings and then now with the Republic?
Well, I mean, I think I think we've seen it with Doko and the Golden One, where there's investment attracts other investment. And I think that, you know, we've all been waiting for that one big project to just become real, and for the rail yards to then follow suit. And I think that, you know, hopefully by that period of time that you mentioned, that, you know, we'll have a full-on community that has grown around the stadium. We'll have district, an entertainment district, essentially, with the arena, with the stadium, where it's walkable, and where people can go to concerts, where you see activity, public markets, all the things that we've been thinking about and hoping for in the city are going to happen in a much faster time frame. You know, I'm a person in my mid-50s, and I was starting to wonder, you know, am I going to see this? Yeah. And I think with the selection of Sacramento as an MLS city, I think the answer to that question is yes. We're going to see that, and it's exciting, and I can't wait for it to happen.
Marcos Bertone of the Sacramento Bee with us. Check him out at sacb.com. You can subscribe right now. I believe it's $1 for the first month, just $1 for the first month to get in there and check out real good local journalism. Marcos has an article today out on the road to MLS and focusing on our good friend Kevin Nagel. Also, pieces from, again, Marcos Dale. And the entire gang out there will continue, I'm sure, not only throughout the weekend, but throughout next week. Last thing for you, Marcos. Hey, buddy, you and I are baseball guys. So maybe you were stellar during the whole Kings thing. You've been fantastic through the whole soccer thing. What say we take a break, keep our eye on Oakland, and then start this thing up again? Come on.
Yeah. I mean, we're on a roll at this point. We're 2-for-2, and Oakland, despite having a committed ownership, seems to be trying to figure out how to get rid of all their sports teams, and why not? Why not? You know, obviously we need to go out and recruit another whale or two, but look, I mean, there was a time where in the early '90s there was a really famous picture of the late Joe Cerna, the mayor from the 1990s, standing at the rail yards with like a green and yellow hat on, and that was the idea, and for a whole bunch of different reasons it didn't happen. But I can remember going to an Oakland A's game 30 years ago. And by the way, today's Loma Prieta Day. Loma Prieta was 30 years ago today. I can remember going to an Oakland A's game in the before I moved to Sacramento, and there's like busloads of people from Sacramento at the Oakland Coliseum in a show of force. And I thought, man, those people from Sacramento are serious. So there's a long, tortured history there as well. And after MLS happening, I wouldn't be surprised about what the city can accomplish in the future, and why not think about it if Oakland does what it always does, which is to say it shoots us up in the foot and then creates opportunities for other cities.
Do you want to ask it or should I? Because
I think you want to.
I figured you wanted to too. All right, we're getting off the phone here, Marcos, but got to ask you, parrot. What's going on in the background?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry about that, guys.
No, we love it.
We just want to know.
It's a cockatiel.
Hey, easy, we're on the radio.
It's the property of one of my daughters.
Okay.
I live with three women, and it was a vote of 3-1, and I ended up losing that vote. So it seems to always want to go on live radio with me, and it also seems to want to speak up when I'm interviewing like really, really important people. So, and I have to tell you, there are some politicians in the city who have not taken kindly to having a bird in the background. So, I have moved to a different room now. See, that's the thing. I don't even hear it anymore, and it didn't even dawn on me that I was that people in Sacramento could hear our bird. So his name is Pumpkin.
And I
should have moved to a different room. So
right.
I will endeavor to do that for the next interview.
I completely disagree.
Yeah,
I want you
more
in that room. We want all the pumpkin we can get, Marcos, in the future. That's Marcos Bertone of the Sacramento Bee. Go to sacb.com, subscribe $1 for the first month, and then keep it going after that, supporting what is disappearing, which is good, strong local journalism. And like I said, Ryan Lillis and Marcos and Dale and Tony Bijak and my old buddy Scott Labar and everybody over there just doing a fantastic job on coverage.
And I'm sure for those of you that go out there Monday, you will see Marcos. We'll see Marcos out there. Mm-hmm. It's a huge day in Sacramento, the press conference early in the day. But then the fun, like the announcement, the fanfare, the reality day that Sacramento is going to get Major League Soccer. And again, when you always hear dates that are pushed back, I promise you that'll be so fast that it'll be here.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be so fast.
Yeah, I agree.
2020, that seems like a long ways away. No, it'll be here soon.
It's one of those, and again, I was talking to, I remember, I forget what the question was. I think Grant or Doug asked me yesterday on the show, they said, so can we finally say, like, for sure, like, done deal, we've had so many starts and stops, like, this is it. And I said, well, I'm superstitious.
Mm-hmm.
So knock on wood and salt over the shoulder and all that. But it was the same way with the arena. And I remember Grant saying all the time, I'm not going to feel perfectly at ease until I'm in a tuxedo in that new arena and there's a tip-off. Same thing. I'm not going to feel perfectly at ease until that first ball is kicked off or the first event happens at that stadium. But
it's happening.
It's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, long road and – oh, man, just – and Marcos alluded to it in the piece. Like, there's still, I think the most frustrating thing for a lot of people in this whole deal was, like, there was so much you couldn't say. There was mm-hmm. so much you couldn't share for the good of the bid and the city and all that. There's so many characters and stories and pratfalls and things that went on. And some of those stories I'm sure will never be told. And it's certainly not my story to tell. But the bottom line is you had a – and we shouldn't forget either – Ron Burkle and Matt Alvarez are going to get a lot of name credit and recognition. And by the way, they absolutely deserve it, as is our friend Kevin Nagel. And you know how I feel about him. But let's also talk about, you know, guys like Phil Oates and Mark mm-hmm. Friedman and even, you know, friends of ours like Derek Lee and people that joined that ownership group a long time ago. And
it's never one person.
No, it isn't.
Ever.
And Jason, like, I know that I'm throwing out names of a bunch of rich people, but you know, that money could be somewhere else. That money's just been sitting there gathering dust, basically, while they hope and pray that this is going to happen.
Yeah, well, it's the collective, too, even the way the Republic came in. The fan base that showed up for the first couple of games at different places from Hughes Stadium to Cal Expo. I mean, the support, the what Kings fans have done, what River – that you see what this community is capable of doing. All that is factors into all of this. Obviously, you need some wealthy people that have some courage, that get behind, that convictions and vision, all of that. But it's quite the process, and that probably is the case everywhere when you're trying to take on an endeavor like this. The stories that can't be told, the hurdles you have to go through have got to be crazy.
Well, and somebody said the other day, we were talking about the A's. They said, you're delusional if you think the A's are going to come here. I said, you know what? You're delusional if you think that Sacramento is going to be able to take out Chris Hansen and the Nordstrom guys and Steve Ballmer and their $30 million deposit. And you're delusional if you think that MLS is going to show up in Sacramento after they've changed the bid so many times. Like, this city lives on delusional. And I'm okay living in that world.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Let's stay delusional. Let's stay delusional and let's go for it. And you're going to have your naysayers. And, you know, I mean, there's a guy on the text line saying, nah, MLS is a pyramid scheme. Like, whatever, dude. Go. Yeah.
It's not for you.
Right. It's not you.
It's fine.
It's not for you. That's fine. Good for you.
Right.
Like, everybody's going to bitch about something.
Wait, did someone actually say it's a pyramid scheme? Like, please tell me that's real.
Shocking how we celebrate Republic but fail to acknowledge MLS single entity pyramid massive negative impacts on youth soccer. And it's like, dude, button up your plaid shirt, drink your craft beer, check out your neck beard and go, you know, like that. There's a whole group of people. There's literally a group of people. Honestly, I see them on the internet. They're like, we want MLS. We want to stay USL and keep it to the core. You know, now you're going to have all the, I mean, literally they're saying this. You're going to have all these new fans who are going to come in, these Johnny-come-latelys, and they're going to come in and just, you know, the real fans are going to get it. And again, these are the same exact people in high school you saw that wore the, like, Pearl Jam t-shirt because they were a brand-new awesome band, and then as soon as Pearl Jam broke, they're like, Pearl Jam's a sellout. I'm gonna go put on my Sheila Divine Modest Mouse shirt. I can't stand that.
There's
people.
A name for them. They're called hipsters.
Right.
Yeah. And soccer would have the most hipsters of any sport.
Yeah, dude. No, you're absolutely right. Oh, you're absolutely right. I want to be very clear about this. I love soccer fans. I do. They're some of the coolest ass, best people in sports, period. But there is a percentage of soccer fans that I hate just about more than any other fan base. And I'm going to be very happy to see a lot of those. There's going to be a large turnover because there's going to be this tiny little group of fans that they don't want anybody else. They don't want anybody else to be a fan. And they're the types of people I saw with mixed martial arts mm-hmm. when it started to get big. And they were like, oh, well, if you don't know who Ken Shamrock and Hoyce Gracie are, then what are you even doing? You and your Anderson Silvas and Tank Abbott. It's like, dude, no, you're trying to grow the sport. Be welcoming to these people. Those are the worst types of fans.
You've been on the accents today.
Yeah. And by the way, no offense to craft beer, everybody. I'm just, you know, stereotyping hipsters.
It's not that great.
I mean, you know, give me a Coors Light.
Yeah, same.
You know, it's a cold, hard fact.
Yeah. One thing now in hindsight, wish we would have asked Marcos about was Buddy Hield. His impressions of that, because that's obviously he covers all things. Marcos does everything in the community, whether it's political, whether it's stuff for the betterment of the city or controversial stuff, certainly in the sports realm. But I want everybody to hear this one more time, at least. Buddy, last night, talking about his contract situation.
I don't know, man. I don't even know if things can get done. If it don't get done, then after that, me and my team gonna look somewhere else and look for probably another home. But until then, we'll see if they're really serious about having me here. That's the goal, to be here. You know, I love Sacramento, but if they don't want me here, I don't feel that I'm the part of the core. You know, I like respect and loyalty, and I feel like I'm part of the group that's getting the team back where it needs to be. So, and like I said, I want to be here, and they don't want me here. Find somewhere to be else again.
Yeah, again, there's it's not a passionate, you know, going off type of locker room moment, but
right.
It is something that did capture a lot of people's imagination. We have the video for you on KHDK.com, so you could see Buddy's even his expressions in all our social media pages as well. But he wants his money, and in a way that he wants more money. And I think it's not crazy what he's asking for. Kings, what they offered isn't crazy. They're not far off. I think they can get there, but it raises some concerns and some
sure.
Kings fans kind of going, hey, wait a minute. I thought all is good here.
I know not everybody's listening now that was listening at 6, so I'll keep saying this whenever we talk about it. I want to be clear. Like, I completely get why fans are a little scared and a little worried. I completely do. But I think it's important, too, to acknowledge that we just focus on what we focus on. If we go back and we look at a transcript of that clip you just played, what did he say? First thing he said was, I don't know. I don't know, which I understand is probably a placeholder for what he was thinking,
sure.
But he doesn't know, and we don't know. So that's number one. Number two, I want to be here. I want to be a part of this core. I want to work it out. I want to be in Sacramento. Now, we don't focus on that. What we do focus on is, well, maybe I can go somewhere else. You know, maybe that's what it's got to be, blah, 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 blah. I get it. But as we said earlier, is Buddy worth the max? Maybe. Is Buddy worth 4-110 and the Kings are offering 490? Yeah, I think it's somewhere in the middle there. My prediction is one of two things, and great prediction, Dave. They're either going to get it done in the next couple days at something around 4-100, or they're not. They're going to get it done this summer, and they're going to let it go through the season. All I know is this. Once the deadline's passed here in the next few days, we're done talking about this, but God, Jason, I just don't want this to be in the back
yeah.
of people's minds all year long.
If the second thing happens where they don't agree by the 21st, which mm-hmm. is the date that they have to do this, and it gets to the end of the season, I'm with you. I think that obviously they can still sign him. But he also can get to a point where that price point – who do you think it'll help more? The Kings, where the price goes down because others can't offer as much for Buddy? Or will it help Buddy if he has an awesome year, Kings make the playoffs? It's like, oh, man, we're going to have to pay him a little bit more money. I don't know who would help if you speculate now.
I don't really see too many avenues where it helps Buddy to wait, which is why I think he's pushing so hard. Because even if he has a tremendous year, there's a chance that they say, oh, you know what, we're going to give you the max. Well, the max might not even be 4 years 110 this summer because of that 10-15% projected drop of the salary cap. Now, here's the other thing, and we'll talk about this later. Things could go back to normal with China, or maybe even better, and much like a stock market, we might see even more investment go on. Like, we yeah. truly don't know, and I think that's why Buddy wants it done now, because
yeah.
then he does know.
That's why he spoke up. I believe he put that out in the media. All right, when we come back, get back into the NFL with the voice of the undefeated 49ers, Greg Papa. He joins us to start at the 8 o'clock hour of The Drive.